Brother Ken has asked us to read from Psalms chapter 96, a psalm of exhortation to God. The first verse there talks about something new, singing a new song. There's some references in Revelation about a time when there will be a new song sung. There's also some references to a new body, a new language, and some different things. Oftentimes at work, people walk up to me and say, "What's new? What's new?" And the verse in Ecclesiastes, it says, "There's nothing new under the sun." I say that often. Most people don't realize even where it comes from. But it does seem like sometimes there's not much new. There's a new president. There's things like that. But yet it's the same. We have the same things in life, the same struggles as people have had for thousands of years. And Solomon realized that in all of his life, that in all the things he looked for in life, there was nothing new. It was all things that had been tried before, and it didn't bring him the fulfillment that he was looking for. Psalms chapter 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Shew forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Those who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
The title of the message this evening, A Thanksgiving Sacrifice. Imagine that you are an artist. Some of you won't have to imagine that, but all of you are given an assignment to paint a picture with the following caption, A Thanksgiving Sacrifice. What comes to your mind when you think of a Thanksgiving sacrifice? Possibly a country scene would be formed in your imagination. The farmer's prize turkey, fattened for the occasion, struts around the pen, unaware of the axe and block of wood that awaits him. Mr. Tom is about to sacrifice his life to provide a festive meal for a family Thanksgiving celebration. Or maybe you think of the Old Testament sacrifices, possibly of unleavened cakes mingled with oil that is referred to in Leviticus, a type of peace offering specified in the law. Well, neither of the possibilities, the preceding examples, is what we have in mind this evening for the definition of a Thanksgiving sacrifice. So what then is a Thanksgiving sacrifice? I would invite your attention as we look into God's Word for the answer. The text of the message is found in the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to turn to that, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Based on those two verses, we'd like to look at five observations. Number one, a thanksgiving sacrifice is possible through Christ. The first words of the text say, prepositional phrase, by Him, referring to Christ. That is significant. Because of our Savior's once for all sacrifice, the need for Old Testament type sacrifices is no longer necessary. But does that mean there is no longer any need for a Christian to offer sacrifices in the age of grace? Quite the contrary. We are commanded today to offer sacrifices. The most encompassing sacrifice is found in Romans 12, chapter 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so for the child of God in the New Testament, much more is required than an Israelite's first fruits or sacrificial animal. But we have something today which enables us more so than those living under the law. We have the redeeming power of Christ's sacrifice to pay sin's penalty once and for all. We are told in verse 12 and 13 of Hebrews 13 to go unto Jesus. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day! He is our eternal, merciful High Priest to whom we have direct access right into God's holy presence. Jesus is the only way to the Father and is there interceding on our behalf. And so it is only through Christ, it's only through Jesus that we can experience forgiveness that makes us worthy to offer our sacrifices, particularly the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Second observation, a thanksgiving sacrifice is praise offered to God. The next part of the text says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What should our response be after experiencing the freedom from bondage and sin and guilt? What should our response be after deliverance from the death penalty of eternal suffering? Express praise to God, to the true redeemed child of God. There will be such an overflow of appreciation and gratitude that all the demons of hell are powerless to silence the praise that spills over in our heart. For you see, who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, Lord? The answer, I may never know why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Offering praise to God is not flippantly saying, praise the Lord, at every little incident that goes our way. Offering praise to God is extolling, honoring, acclaiming, and expressing approval to Him for who He is and what He's doing in our lives. He is a total and joyful, let me rephrase that, it, the praise, is a total and joyful acceptance of His presence. And part of His loving, perfect will for us, including even the difficult valleys He may yet lead us through. We can't really praise God without being thankful for the subject of praise. And we can't really be thankful without joyfully accepting in faith whatever He chooses or allows in His wisdom for our good. Can we count it all joy when the good times as well as the trials come our way? The key is to focus not on the present trouble, but on the maturity of character and growth that God is performing in our lives. You can see James 1 for an explanation of that concept. Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. God's works are for our good. And it does something inside when we thank God, even when it pains us, when we praise Him for what troubles us. I can't explain how that simple offer of thanks and praise brings peace in the middle of the storm. But I have experienced it, and I know that it works. It establishes a strong confidence in the reality of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I have those words in big letters across the wall down in the Learning Center. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus, or of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, it's not too difficult to offer the sacrifice of praise when the sun is warm and the flowers are blooming. But the same God who created the radiant sun and the yellow flowers created the overcast day and winter's dormant freeze. Despite what happens in an uncertain, changing world, we serve a faithful, unchanging God. So knowing all this, why shouldn't we not be able to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 100, verse 4. The third observation from this text here in Hebrews, a thanksgiving sacrifice is continual in nature. How often do we fail to offer the Thanksgiving sacrifice year-round? Not only on the last Thursday in November or the Wednesday night before, but also on the first Monday of January and every day of every month. Our text in Hebrews tells us to offer these sacrifices to God continually. So our entire life should be a song of worship expressed by our everyday life. Live for the one who died for us. Isn't that what Paul encouraged us to do? By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Peter as well presents this thought in 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God fits together. There are verses that explain verses, and this is one of them. The fourth observation, a thanksgiving sacrifice is expressed in our speech. One aspect of a thanksgiving sacrifice is that we speak it. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. If it's in our hearts, it can't help but be on our lips. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So in order to truly praise God with our lips continually, our heart must be in tune to God's praises continually. But we must be careful. And I'm talking to myself first, because it's so easy to slip into a little bit of complaining or discontentment or murmuring. And that isn't praise. This grumbling is the opposite of contentment and gratitude, from which flows our thanksgiving. The two cannot exist together. And so if we grumble and complain and murmur, we're violating the command to give thanks continually. By complaining and grumbling, you know what we're actually doing? We're accusing God. We're actually accusing God of mismanaging the details of our day. And when you put it in that perspective, it becomes rather serious. Praise and thanksgiving actually releases the power of God in our lives, whereas murmuring and complaining blocks that power to the point of bringing on God's anger. Why do I say that? 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 and 11. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Could we focus for our time this evening, and I'd like your participation here, on a song, a psalm. Actually, the psalms were mostly sung. It was the hymn book. Turn to Psalm 95. And this is a song that mentions singing, a joyful noise. It mentions thanksgiving. But it also mentions what the Israelites were guilty of, murmuring and tempting God and provoking God. So I'd like for you to read this responsibly and think not only of the words that need to be pronounced correctly, but think of the meaning of the words that you're saying. And right in this psalm, we have a contrast between praise and complaining. And I would like for it to be a true experience where you're giving praise to God and also accepting you and I accountability for complaint. And purpose while we read this, not to have this a part of our lives. And if it's there, confess it. Get rid of it. So here's how we'll do it. We're going to ask the overflow room and this side to read the first verse. And we need a leader, someone in the back that can kind of be heard by everyone in the front. And I know Brother Tom well enough that he is willing, I'm sure, to be the leader for this side. Okay? And over here, you will read the second verse, I'll read the third, and we'll go around in that order. And I know those two brothers there in the back well enough that I can request the oldest, Brother Charles, if he would be the leader for this side. So come out with your masculine strong voice so that everybody hears you. Okay? Now, we're going to read this as praise and worship to God. But we're also going to read it with an understanding of how God views complaint. Okay? So I'll start, and no, this side starts. And number two, I'll go with number three, and we'll go around in that order. Okay? So, Tom, we'll leave it up to you. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is exalted.
The sea is his, and he made it, and his hand formed the dry land.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice,
harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work.
40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that have the error in their hearts, and they have not known my ways.
Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest.
Those are exuberant words of praise combined with serious consideration and consequence for violation. When you talk about God's wrath and Him swearing that those will not enter into His rest, that's serious. So let's give continually with our lips a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the psalm that Andy read, the very next one, Psalm 96, is a good guide for praise to God. Sing on the Lord a new song. Bless His name, verse 2. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory and His wonders. For the Lord is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. You're lifting up the name of God. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. And so on. The fifth observation, a thanksgiving sacrifice is evidenced in our works. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The New King James more accurately translates the word communicate. But do not forget to do good. In this case, communicate means to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Part of our sacrifice is reaching out and helping others. And whatever need, whatever area that entails. And I want to commend this congregation for their demonstration of sharing and giving in time of need. A whole host of needs within this body. The Israelites expressed their thanksgiving by offering cakes of bread to the Lord as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But as believers, we show a dedicated life of obedience by giving to others, but also by desiring to follow God's commands. His commandments are not grievous. They are not a set of do's and don'ts. Rather, they're opportunities for living a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It was actually gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night, until he died in 1973, he would return to that spot, walking slowly, slightly stooped, with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Actually, you may have heard his name. Eddie Rickenbacker. It was in 1942 that he was on a mission to deliver an important message. It was in a B-17 to Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most difficult adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, he became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean, got on a raft, and for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions fought the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights as they watched sharks ramming their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5, and the biggest shark was 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, the greatest was starvation. 8 days out, with their rations long gone, it would take a miracle to sustain them. But they had a service there on those rafts, and they finished with a prayer for deliverance, and then a hymn of praise to God. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat, and Eddie, with his hat pulled down over his eyes to keep out some of the glare, dozed off. Something landed on his head, and he just knew it was a seagull. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under his hat brim without moving his head, he looked at the expressions on their faces, and they were staring at that gull. And that gull meant food, if he could catch it. And he did. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used to bait fish. And the survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. And you know from history that Eddie made it. And now you know probably why he went with that bucket of shrimp and fed seagulls every Friday evening on that lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast. To remember that one seagull, which long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. A thanksgiving sacrifice is possible through Christ, is praise offered to God, is continual in nature, is expressed in our speech, is evidenced in our works. The songwriter echoes an attitude of humble appreciation when he writes, "What have I ever done to deserve one of the pleasures I've known?" We don't deserve all of the blessings God freely sends our way. And so our thanksgiving and our praise should come from a heart that is content, grateful, and appreciative. When we are tempted to grumble and complain and murmur, it may be helpful to reflect for just a moment on what life would be like if we were in a different country, a different family, or a different class. And somehow, we seem to value more highly what is ours to enjoy. After all, we could have been born in Russia, into the home where the father is a diehard communist, and they still have them over there. We could have been trained in an environment of suppression and atheism, not feeling the warmth and comfort of God's love shared by a daddy whose highest joy in life is serving the Lord. How would you trading places with a boy or girl from Russia and being raised in that environment? Are you thankful? Really thankful for the freedom here in the USA? The family bonds of Christian love? The fellowship of the local body of Christ? You know, you could be a child begging for food right now on the muddy road with all kind of potholes, winding by your dilapidated shack in Haiti, where internal political turmoil and natural disasters have produced a barren land filled with hurt, hunger, and hatred. How would you like to sit on that rugged ground by the roadside with an empty stomach, just hoping for a morsel of food from a passerby, instead of pulling up your chair this Thanksgiving to a feast and a table overflowing with the bounties of harvest? Dad told me a number of times when he was in Haiti, this story, the workers there and the group that went down to help had chicken one evening. And he went around with a plate and collected all the chicken bones. You know how we eat chicken in America? We lay that knuckle and all the gristle and some of the meat even and the fat on the chicken bone, and it goes into the garbage. Well, he went around and collected all those, and then he walked out onto the street and handed them out to the children. And they were overjoyed. It was like candy and ice cream to them. And they chewed those chicken bones down to the point where there were just splinters left. We could have been that impoverished child in Haiti, raised in a home without the teaching that we have been so privileged to enjoy. Are we thankful? I really mean thankful. Many times we tend to take for granted God's wondrous blessings, and we don't fully appreciate their value until they're almost taken away or we lose them altogether. Whether it be home, family, health, the ability to work, freedom, food, clothing, let us purpose, by God's grace, to offer continually our life as the sacrifices of thanksgiving, of which God is well pleased. There's a roof up above me, and I was singing this evening as I was getting ready. Good place to sleep, There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
We have been blessed again this evening. It seems the theme of the service tonight was praise and thanksgiving for God's faithfulness. The hymn we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in the beginning. And then our brother expounding on Hebrews 13:15. It's always been one of my favorite verses. Do you ever think of thanksgiving as a sacrifice? Do you ever think of that? That's what it says. Sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips. And while he was speaking, I thought back to, you know, the Psalms. There's many of the Psalms are praise to God. The 139th Psalm is praise for his presence and his power. And verse 17 of that psalm, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Precious are his thoughts. He's with us all the time, morning, night, all the time. He goes on to say, if I should count them, they are more than number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And I think of that almost every morning. I don't know if I'm taking it out of text there or not. You know, tonight we're going to go home, go to bed and sleep. We're unconscious, you know. But he's still watching over us. And in the morning, he's still there. And, you know, tomorrow's Monday morning. Do you ever hear people gripe about Monday morning? Why is it hard to get up Monday morning? I don't know. Do you know? Every morning, it's a blessing to be able to get up, whether it's Monday morning or Tuesday or Sunday or any of them. God's with us all the time. That's one of his blessings and one of his, we can praise him about. Thank you, Brother Nell, for expounding on the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We have a great God. And he's still alive, isn't he? Let's stand for prayer.